Hey, it's Keith Tomasek. Thanks so much for listening to The Inadequate Life, a podcast about the creative process and people whose lives depend upon it. On today's podcast, we're going to look back at the top five most listened to episodes from 2016. That's right. I've gone through the analytics and data and found the episodes that were the most popular. Now, I'm not going to do a list one to five because they're all pretty close in terms of how many folks listen to them. And I guess the most recent ones, like the one with Sean Cullen and Ross Petty, don't count because they just went up a little while ago. So this is the best of 2016, not including October, not including, say, November, December. How pathetic am I? By the way, if you hear noise in the background, I've got a full house here. It's the day, it's New Year's Eve, and I'm recording this. And I just want to say to folks, you know, a little New Year's Eve message, I guess. I'm really blessed because right now I have a house with a dear old friend from high school is in town. My son and one of his friends is here. My wife is here. And my mother-in-law, as you guys know, is here. So it's really wonderful to be surrounded by people that I love and that love me. And there's been many times in my life when I haven't had that good fortune. So, and many times in my life, as I'm sure lots of folks, you know, in your lives, work on New Year's Eve, putting on a show. God knows I've done a lot of those. But sometimes one gig on New Year's Eve would pay the rent for a month. So, you know, was an easy choice to make. But anyway, I'm really glad right now that I am blessed and have the people that I love and the people that love me around. And I hope that you have the same thing wherever you are, whenever it's most important to you. And that 2017 brings you peace, prosperity, and some good health. Super, super important. Good episode coming up, the top five from 2016. I have to say thanks to my sponsors. Of course, I've been so fortunate through the years. Karen Hartwick over at Stratford Tea Leaves. I've got some of her, I got to read it to pronounce it, Genmaicha Matcha. It's that kind of green tea with a toasted rice in it. And it's just so delicious. One of my favorites, and that's from Karen Hartwick over at Stratford Tea Leaves. She's Canada's tea sommelier. So if you're near Stratford, book a tea tasting or just drop in to experience the world's best, freshest, and most exotic loose leaf teas. Karen Hartwick, thanks so much for sponsoring the episode, the podcast for another year. And a new sponsor, the folks over at Daylight. Daylight is the productivity app exclusively for Mac and iPhones and iPads that's used by musicians, composers, as well as agencies. It helps them all organize the business side of their lives. So whether you're running a side hustle like me, this is my little side hustle, or a full-time creative business, Daylight organizes all of your contacts, your emails, your projects, your appointments, your notes, everything. So you don't have to remember what you need to do tomorrow because Daylight does that for you. Creative entrepreneurs all over the world are using Daylight to grow their business and improve efficiency. I support them because they're Canadian and I love that. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight. That's marketcircle.com/daylight to start your 30-day free trial of Daylight. And don't forget to mention you heard it on The Inadequate Life to get 50% off your first month's subscription. There you go. Sponsors out of the way. Okay, just you and me now and some five of the best podcasts of 2016. And we're going to start out with my episode with Bruce Dow. So a little clip coming up. And if you haven't listened to the podcast, I really recommend it. It's fascinating because Bruce talks about what it's like to continue a career after leaving North America's top classical repertory theater company, of course, the Stratford Festival. And not having regular work was a challenge, no doubt, but it was also an opportunity for Bruce to find the time for self-examination, which led to creative greatness. And just to note, there is a bit of distortion in the recording, so don't be concerned when you hear a bit of a buzz. That's just the recording. Here's Bruce.
And I'm very grateful to the theater community for this, allowing me to change my identity. I was known as musical theater, Shakespeare, large-scale guy. Mm-hmm. And I was able to the directors cast me in edgy, avant-garde, small, difficult for the audience, really challenging theater pieces. And they accepted me as an artist who could do that. I think there still is a prejudice that if you can sing, you can't act. But I've run into that a lot in my career of, you know, you go in and do an audition and they go, oh, you can act. And it's like, well, fuck you. I've been able to act. Do you think it's easy to act while you're singing? And to be honest, Stratford, it took me 8 seasons to get cast in a significant role in a non-musical production. So that was a big prejudice at Stratford for me to fight. So yeah, thank you. And but it was great to come to Toronto and do edgy stuff and be seen for it and then be appreciated by your peers. And you go, okay, I am now allowed a broader spectrum than I think was perceived of me before. I was the fat, funny musical comedy guy.
Yeah,
a bit of that was my part of my decision to leave Stratford at the point was I was the fat, funny musical comedy guy. And I know they're hard to come by. But I also went, I've been there, done that. Got something else to do, or I'll do something else.
So something, a learning point here is it's stepping away from the comfort zone. So going from being that guy to being the edgy, dark acting, pushing the envelope guy. So you've progressed hugely as an artist.
Well, I always tried to bring that element to the stuff I was doing, but yeah, I have progressed as an artist. I don't care as much anymore. And if you go rewind this podcast, my childhood, there's some dark stuff going on there and it's time to express it.
I love that Bruce said, I don't care anymore. Because I tell you, the more artists that I speak to here in the podcast, the more I understand how important it can be to just let go of the past in order to move forward. There's something to consider for the new year. I've got a lot of stuff to let go. Visit BruceDow.com to see what he's up to. It's a fancy new website, and it looks really good. Thanks, Bruce, so much for being such a kind guy. He did a Facebook Live with me at the Grand Theater, and that was a lot of fun. By the way, I'm putting together a training program for theaters to help them sell more tickets on Facebook. It's so easy with Facebook these days to throw money away and not get really good results. And I've been working with a couple of theaters and getting amazing results. Like, we're talking about spending $30 to maybe $150 and selling hundreds of dollars worth of tickets. And I spoke about this at the International Ticketing Associations Conference in California earlier this year. And I spoke to the Ontario Professional Ticketing Association. And I'm putting together a way, like a course, an online course, so I can help folks online, get the best out of their Facebook and not throw money away and use it as a tool to reach people, get them engaged in your performances, and then actually sell tickets. Okay, next up, top five of 2016, Rebecca Northen. Oh man, how much fun. I got to see Blind Date, and I tell you, I have not laughed so hard at any time, so I can't wait to see what she's up to next. And if you listen to the podcast, I mean, she talks about, honestly, about the business side of her life and the creative side of her life, which is so cool. But I was a little bit interested in the love and romance side of her life, and particularly because I got married in my early 40s, later in life, right? And Susie was a bit younger, but still, both of us, first marriages later in life. So I'm always fascinated by people who marry young. And Rebecca, she got married in her early 20s. And even more interesting to me than that was the fact that her husband was also her creative partner. And that obviously brings along with it special challenges when you rely on someone, you know, for so many things. And then they broke up, which I perceive to be quite sad. And those are my own words, not Rebecca's. Listen to this this little clip here, and listen to how Rebecca describes the evolution of this loving relationship that began when two young actors were performing Shakespeare in the Park.
We met doing Shakespeare in the Park in Calgary. When he was 19 and I was 21. And we were very, very good friends first and had a theater company together. And then just over the course of working with each other, fell in love and kept making work with each other. Yeah.
And then you go through all the severing of the relationship and manage to still work together.
Well, we don't even refer to it as the severing of a relationship. For us, it's the evolution of the relationship.
Yeah.
We've through our friendship, through our romance, through our marriage, then through the dissolution of our marriage. I mean, that word doesn't even seem right. It's the evolution of our relationship. We just keep letting go of the parts that aren't serving us anymore. And what we find is when we let go of something that isn't serving us, we are left with more love, more creativity, more inspiration. I mean, we both of us say, like, yeah, I'm not married to you, but you're still my life partner.
Does that make it difficult for you to find a romantic life partner?
No, I have. I mean, I have a romantic life partner, and Bruce has, you know, had several romantic life partners, and it's just sort of part of the deal is this is my best friend and creative partner.
We let go of the parts that aren't serving us anymore. And when we let go of something that isn't serving us, we're left with more love, more creativity, and more inspiration. That's really something to think about, eh? From January to April, Rebecca and a team of actor-improvisers, they're sneaking into Toronto theaters on dark nights across the city. This sounds so cool. To create these full-length, spontaneous plays inspired by the sets and lights and the sound designs of the current productions unattended. Doesn't that sound like fun? So they're just going to walk into a theater, make some shows happen, and then disappear. And you're invited to see it. So check that out. You can visit her site, spontaneoustheater.ca, for details. That's spontaneoustheater.ca. And that's in Toronto from January through till April. Okay, another one in the top five, Brooke Johnson. Brooke Johnson and I met years ago when I used to produce a TV show, and she was doing really well as an actress. And I was so excited when I found out that her show, Trudeau Stories, was going to be staged again. So I interviewed her. And if you don't know the story behind Brooke meeting Pierre Elliott Trudeau, she was at the National Theatre School in Montreal, and she met, she met him before then. I'm sorry. She met him at a movie premiere. Then she was, you know, waiting for stars, and then Trudeau was there. So she handed him a piece of paper to get his autograph. And here's what happened after that.
The Prime Minister came over. I handed him the card that I had the other Jack Lemmon's autograph on, and he took the card, and he my pinky finger of my right hand was stuck underneath the card, and he was holding on to it as well as the card. So then he signed his autograph, and he gave me back the card, but held on to my finger. he actually said to me, "I'll keep the finger," and he started to walk off. It was a fantastic, exciting little tease. And I reminded him of that when we met again in the foyer of the National Theatre School, and he said he said, "Oh yes, I remember that." Very funny.
And it was not long after that time when you met him again at the National Theatre School, and you had a dance together. It was a very formal kind of event.
Yeah.
That he invited you out for a drink, and you ended up in a place. I'm from Montreal, so I know Montreal, and I lived in Old Montreal. I used to street perform in the square there. You ended up at Brandy's.
Yeah.
And you went for a walk, and it's just, you paint such a beautiful picture in the play of the two of you walking through the old streets in Old Montreal, and I'll just, the line you use, "Our breath steamed and danced between us." Mm-hmm. Just that winter scene is so beautiful. And it begins with what you refer to as the two of you hanging out, and you call it a pickup bar. It ends that scene with Trudeau talking about Ernest Cormier, the wonderful designer who designed his home, and then inviting you back to see the house. And this is your first night out.
I know. Well, you know, and also you haven't mentioned in the play that I'm actually wearing jeans and a sweater that I borrowed from a schoolmate, and I'm wearing my parka and my snow boots. I'm not dolled up and dressed up for a date in any way.
Right.
I'm underdressed. And I think intentionally, you know, I was underdressed because I didn't want to be a date. I thought, well, if this man who has quite a reputation invites me out, I want it to be clear that I'm me. I'm not a date. I'm
wow.
Just sort of, I don't want to be a conquest. I want it to be, if you're interested in me, I'll try to be your friend. But, you know, obviously this isn't going to last because I'm just a kid and I'm a goofy, you know, inarticulate, whatever.
And this is what you're thinking when you're getting ready. I get that. But then when he actually invites you back to the house, how does that, what do you think then?
Well, I don't know. I mean, why do we follow any path that we follow? I mean, I think also that's part of the, maybe it's part of the insanity of being a creative person.
Totally.
You know, you say, well, this is really bizarre. I'm going to follow this path and see, you know, what kind of human being is he and what kind of human being can I be in this situation? And I don't know. It's just one of those things where you're going right into the darkness and whatever, you don't know what you're going to discover, you know?
there you go. Brooke Johnson, you know, meeting Pierre Trudeau in a pickup bar and then getting invited back to his place. What a story, eh? And I love that she said, this is bizarre. I'm going to follow this path and find out what kind of human being I can be in this situation. And I think Brooke really sums up the core of what I like in good writing. What kind of human being I can be in this situation. So exploring, you know, serendipitous occasions, putting your characters in relationships that really question their humanity. Anyway, just great work from Brooke and Trudeau stories. Hey, and if you want to find out what happens next in the relationship with Brooke and Pierre Elliott Trudeau, you have to listen to the podcast with Brooke. It's at theinadequatelife.com. Just go to the episode guide under Brooke Johnson. They're alphabetical by last name, and it's a great story, I'll tell you. Don't miss it. And of course, you could see the play on stage. Trudeau Stories is at the GCTC in Ottawa on January 10th to the 29th. So if you're near Ottawa, January 10th to the 29th at GCTC, I highly recommend you go see Brooke Johnson and Trudeau Stories, or go to TrudeauStories.com and you can purchase the script in book format. And it's a great read. I read it and it really reads well. So anyway, congrats to Brooke for all her success with that and continued success. Okay, up next, Inns Choi, the man who created Kim's Convenience. I love the story behind the creation of Kim's Convenience. It began as a 10-minute sketch and it's become the most interesting comedy on CBC TV in years. So remember, everything begins with just putting the pencil to paper and giving it your best and writing. And I really think that in Kim's Convenience, if it gets on Netflix, we'll have international appeal and do really, really well. So here's Inns talking to me about his time at the Stratford Festival. Like Bruce Dow, he was there, no longer there, moved on. And his time at the Stratford Festival began when Inns was accepted into the Birmingham Conservatory.
I applied and auditioned and got in. So then it was, okay, let's move to Stratford.
Right.
So that's what brought me to Stratford. Oh, okay. And there's that thing about Stratford, because it's so far from Toronto, there's this kind of dilemma of, okay, if I move there, then, I mean, we all want to work and we all want great parts as actors. So we moved and the first season was amazing. The second season had like three very small parts and three plays.
It's got to be frustrating.
So, yeah, it gave me a lot of time to write. So in hindsight, it was great. But in the moment, it was kind of, you know, am I dressing? Like, am I just window dressing here? And as a actor of color, there's that dilemma too.
Because you already dealt with that anyway. You'd already dealt with that.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to Stratford to be window dressing.
And in Toronto, there was some of the smaller theater companies. They were very interested in new works and new Canadian voices. Right. And so there was a lot of opportunities for actors of color to be involved. So it was that. It was like, okay, there's a steady paycheck at Stratford.
So you actually lived in Stratford for 2 years. I guess if you're in the company,
We moved there. And I think at the time, and all this, all the while I'm working on Kim's Convenience, like I'm writing it. I remember, you know, being in the green, in the dressing room, you know, during all my shows, like Hamlet, mostly Hamlet and All's Well That Ends Well, because I didn't have a big part. So I had a lot of time backstage.
That is so good.
My laptop is up and I'm listening for my cues because I don't want to miss my cue. I can't get too involved in writing this because I got to listen for that.
Wow. So that was voice. Your quiet. That's really fascinating to me that that was your creative space. Because I have a family now, I can't do anything until everything's shut down in the house. At 10 o'clock, I can come alive and I can start writing or whatever I have to do. But so you, during a production, you'd be backstage creating and working and fine tuning.
And they had, at Stratford, they have these drawers with a lock and it fit my laptop right perfectly just for safety reasons. But I remember it was always a dilemma. What do I do with this key?
When you're on stage.
Because I got to go on stage. And so I found unique places on my costume to put the key.
I tell you, that image of Inns Choi working on his script backstage between his cues is one of my favorite moments from all the podcasts I've done. And it's because it addresses something I personally struggle with, time management. It's amazing I'm getting this up in time for New Year's Eve. Time management and focus. You know, I just love that he did, you know, backstage, he's working on greater and bigger things for the future. And there's a lot of acronyms for that word focus. And my favorite one is follow
one course until successful. Follow one course until successful. Focus. So anyway, hats off to Inns for his ability to focus and build a team. Of course, that's the second phase. You have to build a team. And that's something Rebecca Northern has certainly been so successful at. Anyway, the first season of Kim's Convenience just wrapped, but you can watch it on cbc.com and you can follow Inns' success. He still does a lot of work with Sol Pepper, of course, who was the company behind the success, the successful tour of the play. Okay, one person left, and it's Krista Jackson from Winnipeg. Now, I only got to meet Krista when she was here in the Grand Theater directing Fly Me to the Moon, and what a year she's had in 2016. She's been an associate director in the past at Stratford and the Shaw Festival. She's worked with Martha Henry, Jim Mizon. And this year, of course, a great year for her. She was announced as the Royal Manitoba Theatre Centre's associate artistic director. And she's going to be directing Dancing at Luganza at the Shaw Festival. So super year for Krista. What do we talked about? We talked about the role of a director. And Krista's out, if you had a chance to hang out with her. She's like so laid back, so gregarious, and lots of fun. So I was curious about the role of a director or her concept of the role of a director in creating a mood and a feel amongst the actors working on a production.
I mean, everybody's got their own kind of way of creating the room, but I think that's one of the things a director has to do is create the temperature of the room. And it, sometimes it'll vary because of the play, right? You know, as Peter Hinton, another mentor, always says, you know, sometimes you need tension in a rehearsal hall if the play requires it. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, strawberries and daffodils. It can,
right.
You know, that sometimes it demands a different kind of feel to get the work done. I always think that everybody's terrified no matter what, and that no matter how many plays you've done or no matter how many rooms you've been in, everybody comes in with fear, right? And so it's about, for me, it's about trying to level the playing field so that we work collaboratively, we work together in a way that allows people to do crazy things or take risks or be or ask a dumb question. Like I always say, like I always ask dumb questions. I'm always like, this is a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it. And then because I, you know, so somebody else, it might be not like, it might be actually something that they didn't even think of. Or so just that, like to try to make it so that everybody is not afraid to just put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to approach it. And I think like, no matter what, you need to be loving in the hall, because if you're asking people to do things that are really scary, if there's no feeling of safety or love, that it's
not gonna happen.
They're gonna shut down.
There you go, Krista Jackson, when she was directing Fly Me to the Moon at the Grand and preparing to direct The Myth of the Ostrich. That was at MTC, and both went really well for her, and I guess that's part of the reason she's been so successful in 2016. So, and Krista's directing The Lion in Winter right now at the Grand Theatre in London before she gets on to Shaw, and she's doing some other stuff. So anyway, what a great success. Hats off to Krista. That's it. We're done. Happy New Year. The five most popular episodes of TheInadequateLife.com. You can just listen, visit TheInadequateLife.com and you can find them all, or you can find them on iTunes by searching The Inadequate Life. Just open up iTunes and search The Inadequate Life. So that's it for now. It's Keith Tomasek saying thank you so much for listening. I have a great 2017 lined up. So much going on with The Inadequate Life. Some great episodes coming up. And Stratford Festival reviews, my website, going to be bigger and better than ever in 2017. I'm totally excited about that. And of course, my Facebook training to help theaters, performers, artists sell more tickets on Facebook. And you could just email me if you want some questions about that. You can find all my details at theinadequatelife.com or just Gmail me at keithtomasek@gmail.com. Again, I hope you're surrounded by some of the folks you love, giving back and sharing as best you can. And I will see you and be with you again in about 2 weeks. Take care.